Hi, this is Pastor Matt, and you're listening to the Lakeside Church Weekly Message Podcast. This is where we broadcast our Sunday morning teaching, so if you missed it or you just want to hear it again, you're in the right place. Don't forget to check us out on the web at lakesidelife.org, where you can learn more about the church, watch some videos, and even give online. Thanks for supporting us, and enjoy the podcast.
We're going to be talking this morning about the church. Now, here's what I want you to think of, okay? I want you to think about two different kinds of churches, though, because I'm going to have to kind of keep referring to them. There's the church that perhaps whenever I say the word the church, or if I say Lakeside Church, maybe this is the easiest way to do it. If I say Lakeside Church, that means something to everybody in this room, even if you're a first-time guest. Lakeside Church means something. It means the place that you showed up this morning. Okay, so Lakeside means something to everybody in here. But I'm going to talk about Lakeside Church, and I'll keep going like this. And I'm going to talk about the Church of God. Okay, sorry I can't do any better on the props, but I'm going to talk about the church as it is talked about in the Bible. Okay, and so they're two different things, and sometimes we represent the churches in the Bible, and sometimes we're talking about something else when we say Lakeside Church. But I'm going to do 2 weeks on this, 2 weeks on the church. What is the church? What is the church really? There was one of those surveys, you know, that goes out, one of those really, it was a radio show that had this survey thing, and they came back with the survey answers. What is a church? And they had some pastors on there, and they even interviewed them and looking at the responses, and they all agreed with the responses. And so when they talked about the church, they were really asking, well, what do I look for in a church? What should I look for in a church? Well, that's a good question. Perhaps maybe one day you'll be out church hunting. I hope not after today, but you'll be out church hunting. Maybe you're out church hunting right now. This is a good message for you, okay? What do we look for in a church? And on this particular radio show, this is what they said. You look for fellowship, caring, and sharing. Okay, those are, I guess, three things that do actually happen here at this church. The only problem with that is you could probably find that in a bar too, okay? Right? I mean, you could find some people who are really into deep fellowship in a bar. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, and so you could probably find that fellowship, caring, and sharing by going to Weight Watchers this week, right? You can find that in other places. Fellowship, caring, and sharing. That's something that I don't call the church. That's called community. And community is important to the health of a church, for sure. But that's not what a church is. And that's not what you should be looking for in a church. There was one of these groups, I don't know if it was the Barna group, but one of the big church groups, they decided to find out what is the most important thing that a church could offer to attract new people. And they came up with this list. Number one, the number one thing that a church can do to attract new people is provide adequate parking. Okay? Second one is nursery. Third, then, is style. The fourth is comfort. There was music, air conditioning, I guess, you know, friendliness. You know, those are the kind of things that you end up looking for in a church. These are the kind of things that church means to a lot of people. And I think for a lot of us in the room, when we think of Lakeside Church, a lot of things probably come into our mind. We think about, you know, the first time I felt like I had a family. You know, that could be the truth for a lot of us in here. Lakeside is the place where, you know, our kids were baptized. Our kids were dedicated before the Lord. We had our children while we were attending Lakeside. Lakeside is a place where I first learned to serve, and it's always this place, you know. And so that's what Lakeside is, by the way. I'm not disagreeing with that. That's what Lakeside is. Lakeside is an organization that way. But there's that little word under Lakeside that we also are. We are a church. And we need to be reminded of what a church means and what the most important parts or aspects of any healthy church are. I'm only going to give you one today. It's just a one-point message, okay? And so we're going to do this. We're going to go to the first mention of the church in the Bible. The first time the word ever shows up in the Bible. Anyone want to take a guess as to who's the first person to ever say it? It's Jesus, right? You know, it's, you know, 50% of the time, if I give a pop quiz, the answer is Jesus, okay? But today, that is one of the 50%, okay? And so Jesus is actually the first person to talk about the church. In Acts chapter 20, we're reminded that Christ purchased the church with his blood. We've been redeemed, as the Apostle Peter says, not with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish, without spot. So at immense cost, our Lord Jesus purchased the church for himself. And so when we start talking about the church, we need to be starting with one thing, and that is the person of Christ. Okay? And so we're going to get into this and what he says about the church. The first time he ever mentions it. This is in Matthew chapter 16, okay? So, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say..." Now, when he says Son of Man, he's talking about himself, okay? So who do people... He was referred to as the Son of Man. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. And from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. He must suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." And Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to the disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and then take up their cross and follow me. And whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" All right, now, we start out this passage in a place called Caesarea Philippi, right? Now, Caesarea Philippi is a town on the north border, the Lebanese, of the land of Israel. It was originally known as Peneus, okay? Originally known as Peneus, and it was changed to Caesarea Philippi to honor, you know, Caesar. And Peneus was its original name, and it was given from the Greek god Pan. Now, if you took part in our deeper class, you'll know from Dave's teaching that, you know, at the time of Christ's ministry, when you go out into the world and different places, even in Israel and that, you'll find a lot of different religions. And this was one of those towns where you had just a ton of them. And there was a lot of influence from Greek mythology and their own gods. And there were some Jews. This is, by the way, just a little fun fact, okay? So you ever heard of a pan flute? It's I guess, this Greek god Pan who plays the flute. And that's where they came up with the name Peneus, okay? That's the town. I have no idea why I told you that. So it was, it's just because I found it, you know? So, yeah. And so Caesarea Philippi, this was a center of Greek and Roman life. It was a center of idolatry, as many of these places were. And And there were idols all over the place. And with the arrival of Caesar, there was a temple built there to the god Augustus Caesar. If you remember me in Christmas talking about how he declared himself divine, okay? And so, and the town was renamed in honor of Caesar. And it's a place in Israel where the cultures of the non-Jewish religions of the world had come to meet. There were some Jews there, but even they had just become a little more liberal and were more accepting and more tolerant. This is the setting where Jesus says, who do people say that I am? And it's a fitting setting to ask the question amidst all of this sort of religious idolatry, and I will even use the term religious tolerance, where you have to respect other people's religions and respect that their God, you know, that might work for them, mine can work for mine, we all have to live together, this kind of thing. And he says, no, there's but one God. Who do you say that I am? And Peter gives this confession. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. Okay, that is the question. Who do you say I am? That is the question, and this is the first point of who the church is. When we say what is the church or who is the church, this is point number one, and it's the only point I'm really going to make today. The church is a body of believers that correctly answers the question, who is Christ? Who is Jesus? He is the Messiah. The foundation of our faith, the foundation or the roots of why we meet together is to communally confess that Jesus is Lord, that he is the King. And that is what a church is. It's not just a place where we meet and have our burdens met. That's an outpouring of changed lives. Okay, that are a result of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. That is the result of Jesus' ministry and us being his hands and feet to each other and to the world. But what makes us a church is that we proclaim and confess together that Jesus is Lord. So in 1 Corinthians 3, it says that Jesus is the foundation. We're going to get into some of these verses. Peter says he's the cornerstone. And you know, Peter says here this, and then Jesus replies, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father. And I tell you that," this is really important. If you've never heard proper teaching on this passage, this is a passage where some would say that now Peter is now the ruler of the church. Because he says, "I say you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Your first clue that that's not, he wasn't actually saying that upon Peter, the rock of Peter, he would build his church, is that it doesn't take too long for Peter to screw up again, does it? Right? I mean, just a few, here he goes, he says, "Man, you are Peter, on this rock I'll build my church. Get behind me, Satan. Who are you?" You know? I mean, I would hope that he doesn't want Satan running his church. That's your first indication. And so when you read that in the original Greek language, you find out that our Lord was pretty clever. He's using the phraseology of the day, and he says that you are Petros. Okay, now Petros is a shifting or rolling or insecure stone. Now there's a word that sounds just like it. If you just change a couple letters, it's Petra. Okay, you are Petros, but upon this Petra, which is a solid, immovable rock, I will build my church. Now, he's just said, who do you say that I am? Some say that you're Elijah, some Jeremiah, one of the prophets, you know, or other people say that, but who do you say I am? And he says, you are the Christ. Now, I can picture, I'm just going to speculate a little bit, okay? Perhaps Jesus used, you know, he's an animated speaker, okay? You are a little stone, a movable stone, but upon this immovable rock, I will build my church, okay? Just kind of illustrating it. You get what I'm saying? But that whole Petros and Petra, it's not unlike how, you know, sometimes when I use three C's for a three-point message, right? You get what I'm saying? He was a clever guy. He decided to use the language of the day to explain this. But here's the thing, the idea of a rock, of a Petra, an immovable stone representing not only Christ, but the kingdom is not a new one. And make no mistake, that's why Jesus refers to it as that. And he recognizes that this is something that Jews and the disciples will have read for centuries. First of all, as we continue and read through the rest of the New Testament, we see that Paul says in 1 Corinthians that they drank from the spiritual rock. And yes, that's Petra that accompanied them. And that rock, that's where it says Petra, was Christ. Okay, they drank from the spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Okay, the stone that the entire structure was built on. Now, if that was that happened later, but even before the time of Christ, in Deuteronomy, it says that he is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. David sang, and this is in 2 Samuel. David sang to the Lord with the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hands of all of his enemies and the hand of Saul. He said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. In Acts chapter 4, it says this, know this, all you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is, and then he's quoting from Psalm 118, verse 22, the stone you builders rejected, who has become the cornerstone. That was Peter declaring that. Okay, so Peter himself recognizes that when Jesus says this, that you are Petros, but upon this Petra, he recognizes that it wasn't him. It was Christ who was the rock that the church was built on. I remember preaching about something like that about 6-7 years ago, back when we were in Bluffridge Elementary School, and I was preaching from, I believe, the book of Daniel. Is that where the statue is, guys? Yeah, the statue. And there's a vision that was had, and there was a statue made of different materials. And the materials seemed to get weaker as you went down the statue. And at the end, this big rock flew in and destroyed the statue. And theologians have surmised that what that really indicated was the different empires and kingdoms that would rule the world, and that every one of them would eventually crumble. And so you had the Persian Empire, then you had the Greek Empire, then you had the Roman Empire, and some people would then speculate that perhaps Christianity ended the Roman Empire. But that's not necessarily the what we're supposed to take from that. What we're supposed to take from that is that any earthly kind of empire will eventually fall, will eventually crumble. And yet, fittingly, a rock is there to smash the whole thing to bits. And it is a bit of a metaphor that's throughout the Old Testament, that the kingdom of God and the Messiah who would bring it is referred to as an immovable rock and a fortress. And so Jesus, this isn't lost on him, and knowing that this is the kind of language that would speak to them, declares that upon this rock, upon this Petra, I will build my kingdom. What we have to understand is that the church, as we know it, often doesn't start with that. The church as we know it, a lot of us who come to the church, when I'm talking about the church, I'm talking now about Lakeside Church, not just the Church of God. But when we come to Lakeside Church, the unifying thing that we have here is our fellowship. Let's be honest about that, right? It's our fellowship. And perhaps that's what first drew us to Lakeside, was the relationships that we were able to make the first week or two that we were there. Maybe we got into a life group and then we just never looked back. But that's not really what a church is. See, a collection of unbelievers with some believers sprinkled in is not a church. It's a collection of unbelievers with some believers sprinkled in. What the church is a collection of believers that have a common confession. And it's the same confession that Peter made so long ago. Paul wrote to a young pastor named Timothy. And he started to write and he said this. And you have to forgive me as I try to work through this particular passage. It's a little, you have to read into it a little bit. But he said, "If I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. Beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great." Now, here's the thing. Here's what you have to read into this before I get into this this little hymn that they had here. Here's what Paul says. Remember, he's talking to a pastor, and much of his letters to Timothy, he's telling him how to lead a church. Okay, so we've already got that as our focus. And he says this, "You will, if I'm delayed, you'll have this letter so that you will know how people, God's people, ought to conduct themselves in God's household, and that is the church, okay, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the church, of the truth." Now, he says this phrase, "beyond all question." If you're in another version, you may see that as saying, we have this common confession, because that's literally what it means. It's this, I always murder these Greek words, but it's homologuomenos. I've got it on the screen somewhere. You guys should be able to find it. Oh, I guess we don't even have our PowerPoint up today. Okay. We have this common confession, you'll take my word for it, right? Homologuomenos, which means without disagreement. They all say the same thing. Okay, it means that the church has this common confession. It says, it's translated here, "beyond all question." But it really means, when you translate that logoomenos or logio is to say, okay? Homo means the same, okay? They all say the same thing. All believers, all who make up the church, the true church, have a common confession. And what is that confession? Well, what it was, and the reason that this is in quotes in your Bible when you're reading in Timothy, is this was actually a hymn that the early church used to sing in their services. And it says that he appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by the angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, and was taken up to glory. Okay, it's the confession of who Christ was. He was our Redeemer, he is Lord, he is King. So today, that's the only point I have for you, is that if we're going to be not just Lakeside Church, but we're going to attempt to be the Church of God, our focus is not on fellowship around the cross, but on the cross itself. It's this singular confession that we make together that Jesus is Lord. And when we can get hold of that, we can become the church that God wants us to be. Notice I didn't just say the church that does great things or whatever. That's God's job to do that through us. We can become his church, slaves to him. We've been bought with a price. Jesus paid for the church with his own blood. So we don't exist here to try to further our own causes. We don't exist here to just try to reach this community. If that's a part of God's plan, then I'm sure God's going to use us to do it. But our focus as the believers, our focus needs to be on this common confession of who God is, who Jesus is. And he is our King. And he'll work out the details of reaching this city. But that's where we have to start. Not with strategies, not with programming, you know, not with, a caring program or whatever it might be. We've got to start by teaching who Jesus is. I'm going to endeavor to do that as your pastor. I'm going to endeavor to teach boldly who Jesus is. And next week, when we talk about the church, we're going to talk about the second thing. And that's going to be the end. I've got a two-part series that I want to do on on what the church is. And next week is just as important, because the true church not only proclaims who Jesus is, but the reason they're able to do that and the reason they figured that out is because of this book. The true church of God is dedicated to the foundational principles and the foundational teaching of this book and nothing else. And they don't try to fit it into their lifestyle when they can. Everything we do, everything that we believe is contained in the pages of this book, which are words of life. Okay? And that's going to be the message next week. Why don't we pray this morning? Thank you, God, for this message that you are the foundation. You're the chief cornerstone of the church. And God, we want to be the kind of church that doesn't just, be there for each other. We want to be the kind of church that worships you in spirit and in truth. And we can't do that without declaring the truth that you are God. I pray, God, that we would be overwhelmed with that, and that we would have that as a common confession in your name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to the weekly message here at Lakeside. If you have a need or anything else you want to talk about, please visit our website at lakesidelife.org and click on the contact page to get in touch with us. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.